May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another inspiring episode of the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you may be, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A reminder for all of us that when we are making dua, then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then He azza wa jal grants relief to the ummah, shifa to those who are sick and suffering, maghfirah to those who have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again, we have some calls, some questions. Who knows, maybe some of these questions would be in your mind, in your heart. Maybe you will be going through these difficulties, or perhaps you may know somebody. So it's handy to have a notebook, a journal, a diary, and you can write down the Madani pearls of advices along with the litanies and invocations, the wadaif and awrad, and use that as a reference book. So that if you're going through that problem, refer to it. Or share it with somebody that you know who's going through those difficulties or who have those questions with good intentions. If you share it, inshallah ta'ala, you will receive reward. Before we request for the calls, let's recall the lovely hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrum Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. And أَفْضَلُ الْعَمَلِ النِّيَّةُ الصَّادِقَةِ. The best action is a truthful intention. So how about we make some good intentions? Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshaAllahu Azza wa Jal. Time is ticking. Time is fast, life is short. The smart, wise, and truly intelligent person will use this short life to fulfill the purpose, which is only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do good deeds, to prepare for comfort in the grave and salvation on the day of judgment through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's lots of distractions. The amusements and attractions of this dunya keep many of us busy. The entertainments of this world distract us and divert our attention away from fulfilling that purpose. Recognize it, that it's there to waste our time. So let's stop whatever useless activities we are doing, whatever unnecessary conversations we are engaged in. Let us stop all those things that have no true benefit for you and I in this world, the grave, or in the afterlife. Every single day, reconnect with the glorious Quran. Recite some amount, some portion of the Quran Sharif. His Eminence Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, a great scholar and saint of Islam, advises us to start with 3 verses of the Holy Quran, but every single day. And then gradually you can increase. But go over the English translations from Kanzul Iman and the commentary from Miftahul Ihsan. So we have a correct understanding of what these beautiful verses and ayat of the glorious Quran are telling us, are guiding us, because Al-Quran is a book of guidance. Every day, throughout your day, recite large amounts of dhikrullah, salawat, durud-e-paak, istighfar. Make sincere tawbah and repent on a daily basis. Abstain from sins. Fulfill rights of the people. Be punctual with the salahs and perform them properly. Learn a dua for the day, something of deen for the day, and learn and practice the sunnah. Study the seerah and implement it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Allah and His Rasul. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of salawat, durud e pak. It is mentioned that the one who recites salawat, durud e pak, 50 times every day, the final Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that, I will shake hands with that person on the Day of Judgment. I'm sure we all want to touch the wonderful, beautiful and pure hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the change begins here, the mindset. If you change your mindset, you change everything. We will request our wonderful team and Director Saab to please go ahead with the first call for today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, such a beautiful program, Lana Saab. Lana, I have a question. What is the relationship between sincerity and intention?
Sincerity and intention. Allahu Akbar. This is something we need to develop. Our sincerity in whatever we do, in whichever ibadat we are engaged in. Whatever good we do, we need to firstly focus on the intention, on the sincerity of our intention. The great scholar, Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqa, Allama Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali A'zami Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, has stated that it is vital to perform the good deed, any good deed, with sincerity. Meaning, with the intention of earning the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it is unanimously haram and forbidden to perform a deed ostentatiously. Riya in Arabic refers to ostentation, meaning to show off. It's also referred to in a blessed hadith as Shirk Asghar, minor polytheism. It is sincerity that brings about reward, as sincerity is the essence of ibadah, of worship. It is possible that a person's deed or good action becomes invalid, but its reward may still be given provided that the deed was performed with sincerity. This is connected to the heart, the mind. Let me give you an example. If a person unknowingly made wudu with unclean water and perform salah, the salah will not be valid, because one of the preconditions of salah, meaning tahara, purification, cleanliness, for the validity of the salah was not met. However, he will still be given reward because he had offered the salah with a truthful intention and with sincerity. However, if he became aware later on that he had made wudu with unclean water and his salah was not valid, then of course he would have to repeat that salah. So sincerity is connected to one's intention. One's intention is connected to the heart. It is something which is internal. Niyyah. Niyyah is internal. Your thoughts, your motive. As we always say, innamal a'malu bin niyyat, that surely actions are according to their motives, to their intentions. And if that intention is sincere, then there will be reward. The Rasul of Rahmah, the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has stated that one who performs good deeds solely for Allah Azza wa Jal's pleasure, for 40 days, Allah Azza wa Jal makes the springs of wisdom appear on his tongue from his heart. Allahu Akbar. Regarding sincerity, what I'm sharing, listen carefully to it. And if you want to make notes, no problem. Ink is the best memory. Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned that capture knowledge by writing it down. And then try to implement these things, try to focus on these things, these narrations as well, in order to develop our sincerity. It is mentioned that that to perform good deeds only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something we need to aim for. It should never be aimed at fulfilling the desire of the nafs or earning the pleasure of the people. How about I question myself? When I do a good deed, whatever, giving charity, performing salah, reading the glorious Quran, dhikrullah, durud sharif, on my tasbih, on my counter, do I focus on my intention that why am I doing this? Am I really doing it to make my Allah Azza wa Jal, my creator, my sustainer, my nourisher, happy and pleased? Or am I doing it for the people to praise me? Don't judge anybody else but yourself. Allama Abdul Ghani Nablusi Hanafi rahmatullah alayhi says that sincerity is to perform the deed with the intention of gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gaining closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without aiming for any worldly benefit. The great waliullah, Sayyiduna Hudhayfa Mar'ashi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he says that sincerity is to perform the deed in the same manner, whether performed in public or in private. Subhanallah, what wise words from our pious predecessors. Now, a question to ask ourselves. When I'm performing salah in public compared to me performing salah in my home when nobody's there, in my room, maybe nafil salah, what is my condition? Do I focus as much at home like I focus when I'm in the masjid? I make sure that I'm performing properly, my postures are correct. Do I focus like that in the comfort of my home, in my room? Keep checking the intention. Keep focusing also on sincerity. Sayyidina Muhasibi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi has stated that sincerity is to prevent the creation from being involved in the matter related to the creator Azza wa Jal. And Sayyidina Sahal bin Abdullah Tustari alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi has said that sincerity is to perform every act solely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, without any involvement of one's nafs, desire or worldly benefit in it. So why am I doing this good deed? Whatever type of good deed. That we need to focus on the intention, on the sincerity. That the number one reason must be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to please Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To earn reward. And you can make other good intentions as well before performing a good deed for Isali Thawab of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever reward is gained from here to be transferred as Isali Thawab, conveying of reward to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Anbiya alayhi salam, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Awliyaullah, to your parents, whether they are living or have passed on, to your family who are believers, Muslims, and those who have passed on, to all marhumin as well. Now those who desire being praised, who desire being encouraged and given recognition, acknowledgement and gifts, when they've acquired maybe a degree or have qualified as a scholar, as a Hafiz al-Quran, as a Qari, who have attained lots of knowledge, religious knowledge, achieved high positions in their examinations, rendered a lot of religious services, authored many books, have performed so many virtuous deeds, or traveled regularly with the qafilas of Dawat Islami. We should all learn a lesson from the fact that if we are doing those things for recognition, it's possible that we are doing it to show off then. And riya ostentation, showing off, is one of the major sins. Then instead of getting rewards for all that hard work, for all those efforts that I have put in doing good deeds, reciting Quran, performing salah, fasting regularly, there'll be punishment because I did not do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I did it for the people. The nafs can trick a person. Shaitan can trick a person, even if there's nobody there. And if I'm putting in some charity into the box, be careful. Monitor your intention. Monitor your sincerity. Because the nafs and shaitan, they work together. And they can put it in your mind, hey, I hope somebody is watching. Maybe the cameras are watching. Don't judge others, judge yourself. The Hawariyun, the companions of the great Prophet Sayyiduna Nabi Isa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, they asked him, whose deed is sincere? Nabi Isa alayhi salam replied, the deed of only that person will be considered sincere who performs his deed solely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he dislikes being praised by the people for that deed. If somebody praises me for doing something good, for helping somebody, how do I feel? Monitor this. And there are some other sayings by the mashaykh, by the pious ones, that we should consider. That Sayyidina Ya'qub Makfuf rahmatullah alayhi says that a sincere person hides his good deeds as he hides his sins. We don't want people to know I'm committing these sins. We hide it. We conceal it. A person may do it in privacy. So how we conceal and hide our sins, how about hiding our good deeds as well? Sayyiduna Sari Saqati rahmatullahi alayhi says that if you offer 2 rakat salah with sincerity in seclusion, this is better for you than even writing 70 or 700 authentically referenced hadith. And the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, for a man to offer nafil salah at such a place where he would not be seen by the people is equivalent to 25 salah offered in the presence of people. Of course, jama'ah is different. A pious person says that sincerity, even for a moment, is the means of eternal salvation. But sincerity is rarely found. Sayyidina Khawas rahmatullah alayhi has said that the person drinking the beverage of statehood, authority, remains deprived of performing worship with sincerity. And Sayyidina Fudail rahmatullah alayhi says that to leave a deed for the sake of the people is showing off, and to perform a deed to impress the people is minor polytheism. So when I'm doing good deeds, when I'm performing, and see, shaitan and the nafs, they will employ delaying tactics. Do it tomorrow. You still have time. And finally, if you break free from all the trickeries and the traps, and you do it, they still don't leave you. They still influence. They whisper evil whisperings, wasawis, that you are doing this ibadah. Hey, I'm really punctual with my salah. I'm focusing on my salah. I'm, you know, helping people out. Allah, protect your good deed with making good, firm, sincere intentions. It's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He dislikes a person, then He azza wa jal grants 3 things upon that person but deprives him of 3 other things. 1, Almighty Allah blesses the person with the company of the pious people but deprives him of taking any advice from them. 2, Allah azza wa jal enables a person to perform good deeds but deprives that person of sincerity. And 3, Allah Azza wa Jal grants wisdom upon him but deprives him of truthfulness in it. So dear viewers and listeners, this is connected to the internal. We need to develop this. We need to keep monitoring our intentions and the levels of our sincerity when we are doing, when we are performing good deeds. Hide your good deeds. Protect your good deeds by making sincere, good intentions. Can we please have the next call? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
I hope you are doing well, Maulana. I actually have a question for you. Tell me, what is the nafs and why is it considered our greatest internal struggle?
The nafs. Subhanallah, we all have nafs. Here we're talking about nafsul ammara, the commanding self, the ego, the desires, the base self, whatever you wish to call it. It's like controlling a beast, a wild animal. It's not easy to control the nafs, but not impossible. Awliyaullah, the pious ones, they knock their nafs. Their whole lives, they fight against the nafs. In fact, this is the greatest battle, to fight against the desires in order to overpower and control the nafsul ammara, which is within us. And if we don't do that, the person eventually becomes a slave of the nafs. When you are working on trying to control this wild animal, the nafs, then it's going to strongly oppose you. The great sage, Sayyidina Bayazid Bistami, rahmatullah ta'ala, has stated that the nafs is such an attribute which is never satisfied with anything but evil. In other words, that nafs, the desires, is only happy with evil, with indulging in evil. And Sayyidina Sulaiman Darani rahmatullah ta'ala has said that opposing the nafs is the most virtuous deed. This is not a once-off thing to control the nafs. It's an everyday thing till your last breath. Remember, the nafs is always influencing a person towards evil, the nafsul ammara. The glorious Quran draws our attention to this in Surah Yusuf, verse 53. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Without doubt, the nafs strongly commands bad deeds. You and I should make every possible effort to overpower this nafs. And they are glad tidings of Jannah, of paradise, for the person who overpowers his nafs or her nafs and succeeds in preventing it from evil desires. As the glorious Quran mentions in Surah An-Nazi'at, verse 40 and 41, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And he who feared standing in front of his creator and preventing his nafs from desires, without doubt, for him is paradise. Allahu Akbar. The great sage, the great scholar, Sayyidina Sulaiman Darani, Quddisa Sirruhu Rabbani, has said that abandoning a desire from the desires of the nafs is more beneficial to the heart than fasting and remaining awake in worship for the entire year. Allahu Akbar. Are we getting to understand how important it is to control the nafs? And what enormous rewards are in store for a person that overpowers the nafs? Eating less than required, fasting regularly, nafl fast, optional fast, is one of the greatest ways to control the nafs. But we live in an era where there's a food culture, there's a mukbang culture. How much can a person eat in a certain period of time? If they finish before that, then the entire meal is free. And that one meal could have fed maybe 5 to 10 people. It's true what they say, that some people, especially the people of the past, they used to eat in order to live, to survive. And today, so many people live to eat. What's the latest recipes and ingredients and what can I cook and try? Despite difficulties are going to be there when we are at war with our nafs, our desires, our ego, self. Still, work. Keep working. Keep putting in effort. And one way is, as mentioned, one of the greatest and most practical ways of controlling it is to fast regularly. Start with Monday. Monday Sharif, our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to fast on Mondays because that was the day of his Milad Sharif, the day he was born. Start with that. Mondays, Thursdays, Ayyamul Bid, 13th, 14th and 15th of every Islamic month, lunar month. Start with that as well. And it's good for the body. It's good from every angle. It's good as a detox. It's good to suppress, control the nafs. Medically it's good. But of course, do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we'll earn reward. And all the bonuses of the medical bonus and the detox and all of that will also follow through. Inshallah al-Kareem. Another way of controlling the nafs is to do the opposite of what the nafs desires. Not easy. Not easy for the nafs. The nafs is craving for sugar, sweet things, and to eat something salty, difficult. But it can be done. Allahu Akbar. The great Saint Data Ganj Baksh Ali Hujwari says that hunger is the food of the Siddiqeen and the path of suluk for the disciple. Previously, people used to eat to survive, yet you live to eat. Allahu Akbar. He mentioned this about 1,000 years back. Oppose the nafs as much as you can. The great Sheikh of the Chishtiya Sinsila, the Chishtiya spiritual order, Sayyidina Sheikh Khaja Mehboob Ilahi, Khaja Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatul Ali. He once fell seriously ill, and his Murideen, his Muhibbeen, and disciples and students, they told him, they tried different things, different medications and ilaj treatments. It wasn't working, wasn't helping. So they told him there's a pundit, a non-Muslim, in the area who was able to cure people very quickly by reciting some incantations. They asked him permission to bring that pundit. He, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, refused. His condition worsened and he fell unconscious. The disciples, they were extremely worried now. And thought, what must we do? We don't have a choice. So they called that pundit. He read some incantations. He blew on the great sheikh. And immediately he regained consciousness. And he recovered from his illness. And he asked, and he was informed of what had happened. He asked the pundit, how did you attain this skill, this expertise? And the pundit replied, I have promised my teacher that I would always do the opposite of what my desires wants, what my nafs wants. So whenever there's a desire of the nafs to drink cold water, I drink hot water. When I wish to eat rice, I eat bread. In this way, by continuously opposing my nafs, my desires, I have attained this expertise. Now listen what the great Sheikh Nizamuddin Mehboob Ilahi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, what he asks the pundit. He asks him, tell me, does your nafs permit you to become a Muslim? The pundit thought about it. He says, no, it's not allowing me to become a Muslim. And the great Shaykh rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi then said, if it is prohibiting you from embracing Islam, from becoming a Muslim, then according to your principle, you should become a Muslim by opposing your nafs. These words had such an impact, such an effect on the heart of that person that he immediately repented of his disbelief and became a Muslim. He recited the Kalima Sharif, the Shahada, and embraced Islam. The pundit cured Khaja Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Ali physically, medically. And the great Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali cured him spiritually in return. He cured the body of the great Shaykh, and the great Shaykh cured his soul. He cured the external bodily illness of the great Shaykh, and the great Shaykh cured his inner illness of disbelief. The nafs. The second Khalifa of Islam, the second successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq al-Azim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, has said, keep making accountability of your nafs before the accountability of your deeds is made. Allahu Akbar. When last did I question myself? When last did I take stock of my life? Do this to better yourself, to control your emotions. Today, I mean, they have emotional intelligence. Controlling of emotions is a big thing today. It's about the nafs, the inner self, the desires, the ego. Allahu Akbar. When are we going to start? Take stock of your life. Do introspection. His Eminence Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah has given us a practical program that is called Pious Deeds, Nek A'mal. On App Store or Play Store, you can download it for free. This is a self-questionnaire, and there are several questions that you have to ask yourself on a daily basis and check yourself. Am I doing this or not doing this? You don't need to show anybody. Don't show anybody else. That's between you and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you monitor your progress. We need reminders. That's, you know, you reminding yourself. That's you working on reforming yourself and taking stock of your life. And then there's weekly questions, there's monthly questions, there's yearly lifetime questions as well. It's an ideal way of checking yourself, holding yourself accountable before the day of accountability, the day of judgment in the afterlife. There are some wadhaif I want to share with you as well, especially for that person who's overpowered by the nafs. Nafs is always going to encourage indulging in evil pleasures. That evil pleasure, whatever it may be, is short-lived. It's for a short period of time. And when you achieve it, you attain it, you do it, then a person feels like, you know, feels very bad, feels down. Hold your nafs accountable. And another way is to inculcate fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishments, which is real, which happens in this world, which happens, عَذَابُ الْقَبْرِ حَقٌّ, in the grave and on the day of judgment. Whoever invokes, recites the following regularly, inshallah al-kareem, will be freed from the evil desires of the nafs. Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Ghaffaru. And whoever is overpowered by the nafs, the nafsul ammara, the debauched inner self, inner being, should also recite the following litany every single day, inshallah al-kareem. He will get rid of this through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Khabiru, Ya Khabiru, Ya Khabiru. Make a note of that. Start practicing upon it. Easy. Ya Ghaffaru, Ya Khabiru. And these wada'if, these invocations, you can find in the very famous book which every Muslim household should have a copy of, Madani Treasure of Blessings, on pages 244 and 246. You can also download the free ebook from dawatislami.net or obtain the hard copy from Maktabatul Madina, which is the publications department and bookshop of Dawud Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help us to overpower the nafs. Ameen. Bijahi khuatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, if you think good, you will speak good, you will do good, and good things will happen, inshallah ta'ala. Please keep safe and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.